Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, folks. This is Blog Talk Radio and Coffee Break with Sheila Harden, an encouragement to Christian women to step out in ministry. And we are just thrilled today to have W.L. Kati come and talk to us about the rest of her story. Last time it was kind of a cliffhanger. We left with her being a Christian, marrying a Muslim man, not knowing what the marriage contract said because it was all in Arabic. And we'll hear the next phase of what's going on in her life. But before we do that, I want to read a proverb for today. I call this fast food. Little words of wisdom from the book of Proverbs to remind you of things that we all need to remember in our lives. This is Proverbs 20, verses 4 through 6. If you won't plow in the cold, you won't eat at the harvest. Though good advice lies deep within a counselor's heart, the wise man will draw it out. Most people will tell you what loyal friends they are, but are they telling the truth? Something to really think about, isn't it? I was watching TV, and they had on the news this morning a researcher at a university who had been studying the amount of lying our society does and has done over the past 20 years, and he says it's increased many, many times, and we are now and have become a nation of liars. And he quoted all of the people in very prominent positions in politics and in the media that have been caught in lies, and there have been basically no consequences. And I don't know. I just think that that's a big area for the enemy. So many times in our lives, we don't want to hurt people's feelings. We don't want to make them upset, and so we choose not to be completely forthright. And I think it's something we all need to remember, because it's easy. I know it's easy for me sometimes to shave the truth a little bit because I don't want to hurt a person's feelings. And this is certainly the workshop of the enemy. So this is a perfect proverb for me today. Anyway, we are just very happy to have W.L. Kati back with us, and she's going to talk to us about the rest of her story and what happened after she found out that the marriage was a contract for only 20 years and written in Arabic. How are you, Kati?
I'm doing great. Sheila, how are you today?
Just very, very thrilled to have you back.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity. I think the world really needs to know what the truth is about Islam. There's so many questions, and so I'm excited to be able to share. And it's to me always amazing how God can take our mistakes and what the enemy intended for evil, God can turn it for the good. And for such a time as this, I believe all of us are born, and we know that, and I'm excited to see what God has in store.
Praise God, yes. So, at the last show, you were married to a Muslim man.
Yes.
And then what?
All right. Okay, then what? It's a long story, I tell you. 15 years is hard to explain in just a short period of time. We were married in the mosque. I was totally deceived because my whole wedding was done in Arabic. And again, I'd like to recap that this was back in the 80s, and it was in the South, and not that Southerners are slow, it's just that no one knew anything really about the Muslim religion at that time. It's not like today. I had no clue that there was any difference, never had been warned about Muslims, so I really didn't have any idea what I was falling into. I was in love, and that's all that mattered, and I said, I think the last time that, in my case, my love was deaf, dumb, and blind, and I was head over heels for this man, and he was very charismatic and dogmatic, and appeared to be this appearance of this strong, godly man with family values, which was not the case at all, unfortunately. I don't say that all Muslim men beat their wives or all Muslims are the same. I'm telling you my story, And, you know, you can base whatever you want to on that, but this is my story and my testimony and what happened to me, and so that's why I share, because I've heard hundreds of other stories that are very similar to mine. So when we were married in a mosque, I came out with my marriage license, and I saw that not only my name had been changed, but my religion as well. And Muhammad reassured me that, you know, as long as I didn't change in my heart, that I was still a Christian, quote unquote. At that point, I really wasn't living the Christian life like I thought I should be, like I knew I should be or should have been. But that's the problem with deception. When you're deceived, how do you know it? So, and it's so subtle. Deception's so subtle, and that's why we have to guard our heart daily and be so careful what we hear, what we see, what we listen to, what we allow into our spirit, because deception is well on the rise, as we know, just like you said about the lies.
Uh-huh.
How true is that? I mean, that's what is that? Deception, a lying spirit. It's mm-hmm. you know, we know that the false prophets out there, and we have to be so careful. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, letter by letter, dot by dot, it's not the Word of God. And so anyway, we proceeded on, and I tried to live the best I could, him sending me back and forth to the Middle East to be the good Arab wife. And when I was in the Middle East, Syria especially, I was treated very well. It was not like what other people would think, like the movie Not Without My Daughter or something like that. I was actually, I guess, their token princess, and treated awesome. I actually really loved the Middle Eastern people and the culture and everything about it. But the deeper I dug into Islam, well, let me back up. I actually did convert, totally converted to Islam in Damascus, Syria, during the month of Ramadan. And speaking of Ramadan, we are approaching Ramadan this year for the Muslims. And our ministry, we fast and pray 40 days versus their 30 for their salvation. So we're actually starting today is the first day of the fast. Today's, you know, and we'll go 40 days praying and fasting for the Muslims. But so I converted in front of an imam in a mosque. So what that means is that I am a documented Muslim. And when you try to come out of Islam, it's the death penalty. So I stayed in and really tried
Wait
to
a minute. Now, it's the death penalty if you try to leave being a Muslim?
Yes, it is the death penalty.
Well,
so,
who kills you?
Well, if I was in a Middle Eastern country that is ruled by Islam, anyone could kill me. It's their responsibility. It's their duty as a good Muslim to kill me because I'm basically have forsaken God. So
is that considered an honor killing then?
The honor killing's a little different. This is actually an honor killing is if you have, well, it is basically an honor killing. An honor killing is more, when people think of honor killings, it's more like if you've been disloyal to the family as far as cheating or, you know, having an affair. It's okay for the men, but not for the women. But at the same time, it was a dishonor, but it's more of a dishonor to their God than anything else, that I'm a traitor, you know.
I see.
And
okay.
So it's actually a little deeper even than that. So when I started doing my comparison between Jesus and Muhammad, I just saw that I was not seeing what I knew as a Christian. I didn't see peace. I didn't see joy. I didn't, you know, my father didn't cheat on my mother. My grandfather didn't cheat on my grandmother. And, you know, my family we had our issues and problems. Nobody's perfect, but we were basically loving. There was no abuse. There was no violence. There was not that we didn't have some arguments, but nothing went to blows, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And all I was seeing in my relationship was violence and hate, and not even just Muhammad and myself, but Muhammad and his family and Muhammad and his friends, and seeing it everywhere. And the more I dug into Islam, the more I saw that this wasn't the same God that I knew as a child, as in my young youth, when I found the Lord as my Savior, you know, when I was 17. Mm-hmm. And I finally asked Muhammad if I could go to church. And all during this whole time, my mother had been praying, of course, her being a Christian and my dad and family, for my salvation. My mom had gone to a Bible study for 9 years, and every year without fail would write a prayer request for myself. And by this time, Muhammad and I had 4 children. And so we were also very, very, very wealthy, and we had built a home on an island in Florida, and we also had houses still in Atlanta, and we had businesses in both places. During this time, Muhammad had a heart attack. He was only 36. So I had to leave my brand-new built home in Florida and just go back to Atlanta where he was, trying to, you know, finalize everything. And I was really doubting Islam at that point, just had many, many doubts, many questions, many concerns, not feeling like I had done the right thing at all. And again, my mom and dad, not me knowing, that, but they had been praying for my salvation, and probably many people, you know, many people they were praying. So we went back to Atlanta, and it was just, it went from bad to worse. I was having issues with my mother-in-law for the first time, horrendous issues, not just minor things, but just tremendous issues, and I just didn't have a peace. And once Muhammad got better, I had already made the decision while I was there. I'd snuck to a church one night, I think it was like a New Year's Eve service, but when we got back to Florida, I asked his permission if I could go to church, and he allowed me to, surprisingly, and even allowed me to take the children. But his words were, don't change your religion. I was not intending to change anything. I really was so deceived that I thought I was living the right religion, but yet I thought I could mix the two together, just like people think today that Islam and Christianity and Judaism are all a part of the same tribe, which they're not at all.
Yeah, one happy family, yeah.
Exactly, but it's not the case. Yes, definitely Ishmael is a son of Abraham, and yes, the Arab nations, a lot of the Arab nations come from that, from Ishmael, but the religion of Islam is not anything like the faith of the Christians and the Jews. It's a totally separate, completely different religion, and has nothing, no similarities. I mean, Allah and our God that we serve, Jehovah, have no characteristics. And just a point just to bring out, the confusion is that the only word for God in Arabic is Allah. So even in the Christian Bible, the Arab Bible, the Arabs that are born-again Christians, the only word they have is Allah, but it's a different Allah. It's not the same that the Muslims serve and the Christians serve. Mm-hmm. So that's where a lot of confusion comes in. But anyway, I came back, and I went to the church, and I didn't even get my feet into the door until the Holy Spirit just fell on me, and I began to weep. And my children were young, and they were looking at me like, Mom, what's wrong? And nothing, you know, it's just God. It's just the movement of God. And I didn't really say the sinner's prayer that night, but that's the change happened. So I asked if Muhammad the next week if I could go back to church on Sunday morning. And there was a church down the street, a Baptist church. And so I had gone first back to the other church that same morning, and they had started service. I guess they had changed their service times, and they were meeting early. So when I walked in, it was kind of in the middle of the service. So I went back to the parking lot, went down the street to the Baptist church, and, you know, they didn't start their service until 11, so I was there in plenty of time. And I was not covered. So this was the first time that people had seen, they didn't know who I was, because I was the only covered woman in my area. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting in the service listening to the pastor. It was an awesome sermon. Can't tell you a thing he said. All I know is that when he finished, all I wanted to do was get to the altar. And when I got to the altar, he in the Baptist church, they kind of announce you, you know, they kind of turn you around to the audience and, you know, to the congregation. And when they said my name, the whole church stood up and started weeping and running towards me.
Wow.
And I'm like, what's going on? Well, when Muhammad had his heart attack, I had rented out our new home one weekend out of every month to a group of ladies. Didn't have a clue who they were. They were just having a ladies' retreat at my house. That's how huge it was. And
the one in Florida.
The one in Florida, yes. And it ended, and I had gone back to Florida, so this was the summer. And it ended up that that was the church that my mom had gone to every year for 9 years to this Bible study. And it was actually the same group of women that had rented my house. And
oh,
when
my.
They rented my house, exactly, they saw the my mosque. They saw the pictures of my mom. They put it all together. And so instead of having a retreat, they had a prayer meeting for me to bring me back to the Lord. And so when I got home, it was like, you know, I'd already was convicted. I was already coming back to the Lord. But it was like every scripture that and every old song, Jesus is the cornerstone, all these songs, I couldn't get them out of my mind. I mean, there was such a spiritual battle over my life, I was almost suicidal. It was that strong of a warfare. But knowing that, you know, I still had that fear of God, that I wouldn't do anything crazy, and of course my children, I knew that if something happened to me, where would they go but to a Muslim father who was abusive and cruel. So it was a very confusing, horrible warfare over my life at that particular point. But I get to this church, and it's to the point where I'm ready to die for Christ. Revelation had become real. I knew it was by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony and not loving my life even unto death. That's where I was. And it didn't matter money. It didn't matter all the things that we had. Nothing was worth my eternity. And that I had to make the decision. And if anyone followed me, my children, if I lost them, whatever, at that point I had to trust God, because nothing, again, was worth my salvation. And
praise
so
the
I
Lord.
I made that commitment to the Lord. And Muhammad basically let me play with Christianity to him for about a year. And then I was a gospel singer prior to Mary and Muhammad, and I had a concert. And I was bold enough at this concert to invite my family and to invite Muhammad and my children. He had no idea what to expect, so he came. And that was the night that I chose each song strategically to share my testimony and how I had gone through Islam and found Jesus as my Savior. With Muhammad present in the audience.
My word.
So he heard the whole plan of salvation. And our youngest daughter was only 3 at the time. She got convicted under the Holy Spirit, began weeping, and gave her heart to the Lord. Muhammad's thinking that we had manipulated this child somehow, because he didn't understand how the Holy Spirit deals with a person's heart and
right.
brings us
and that,
conviction. So he
manipulation is what they use. Manipulation
they
is
use.
The name so of the game.
Exactly. So that's exactly what he thought was happening. And so he gets violent and in the church, and my father's there and the pastor, and he had to be restrained and escorted out. We get home, and I'm like, oh, boy. Okay, Lord, the cat's out of the bag now, you know. And we get home, and several hours later, I'm preparing dinner, and we're sitting at the table, and the children are there, and he turns to me. He said, okay, I'm done with this Jesus stuff with you. He said, I give you 2 weeks to come back to Islam, or I'm throwing you on the street. Now, that was his grace and mercy, because remember, it was the death penalty for me.
Mm-hmm.
And standing right there in front of him, his mother, and my 4 children, I said to him, Muhammad, I'm ready to die for Christ. And at that point, he divorced me Islamically. I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. And to them, that's it. It's over. It's done.
That's all it takes, is saying
that's
that 3
all it
times.
Takes. Exactly.
Wow.
Even though we were married through the state, so we actually had to, you know, through the United States, so we had to actually go through a legal, that kind of a divorce. But to him, it was done. And at that point, the children and I made our escape, and we actually lived in and out of shelters for about a year, fear of our lives, with restraining orders. and then from there on, about a 10-year battle of just pure hell, honestly, of fighting Muhammad on every level. He had the money he left us without, and just God sustaining us. It was just absolutely a miracle. But, you know, the story doesn't end there. I'm telling you, God is a God of restoration. I am remarried, been remarried now for almost 11 years to a wonderful man of God who has put up with every bit of this, has stood by beside all of us, and has been such a wonderful person in our lives. But about 2 years ago, there started a total restoration. Even my children were not seeing their father, or most of the children were not, because he was such an abusive, violent man. Mm-hmm. But a couple of years ago, God just started doing some miraculous restoration. And now I am now friends with Muhammad and his family. I'm witnessing to my nieces and nephews in Syria through social networking. And God is just doing a miraculous thing. And
praise the Lord.
Believing for his salvation. So,
wonderful.
So God is a good God, and he, again, can take our mess and make a message out of it, and take our test and make it our testimony. And he's been so faithful, and he's created from here a wonderful ministry that I go all over the world. I'm getting ready again to go back to Israel. I've been to India, Africa, Egypt, all over, helping women who are in bad situations, and helping and warning women not to get in the same situations that I'm in, and been able to author 3 books, and God is just so faithful in what he can do.
Your ministry then is it specifically aiding women who are married to Muslims and want to get out, or is it, is your story common here in the United States? Are there many women who have been married to Muslim men that are Christians, or...
Oh, it's amazing, especially after 9/11. You would think that there would not be, but after 9/11, there's been more converts to Islam than ever before in the United States. There are mosques springing up left and right like crazy, and one of Islam's number one ways of evangelism is through marriage. And even Muhammad said, if we cannot take this country by force, we will take our time and take it through marriage. But basically, our ministry is kind of fivefold. We do many things. One, of course, is warning and helping women, but we're reaching those who are affected by Islam is basically our call. I also teach and train. I've been in over 60-something mosques internationally where the Lord has opened the doors for me to go in and preach the gospel. I take people with me. I train. I teach how to witness, how to bring Muslims to Christ, breaking off fear, because we're to fear no one but the Lord. Excuse me, I have a little bit of cold. And writing books, writing teaching manuals, fasting Ramadan, outreaching to Muslims, bringing Muslims to Christ. It's kind of like whatever the Lord has us do. It's is where we are and what I do. I go in and out of other countries, helping with situations there, teaching and training, and reaching out. We even help with issues with child abductions, trying to keep children from being kidnapped. And I train and teach how to protect your passports and your children as best as possible. But so there's many
specifically kidnapping back to the Muslim countries.
Right, because once they go there, it's very difficult to get the children out. And so we also, I'm in process. At the beginning of this year, we've written a screenplay of my life story, so we're getting ready and gearing up for production for that. So I do public speaking, I do teaching, you name it. It's whatever the Lord has me do.
Now, if someone wants to contact you to have you come speak, how would they do that?
I guess the best way would be to email me. And that's very easy. I write, under a pen name, and my pen name is WLCATI, And that's my web address, and it's also my AOL screen name. So it's waokati@aol.com. And my website is wlcati.com. And if you Google WLCati, you can find plenty of things and ways to contact me. I'm very easy to find, believe me. And,
oh, great.
Would love to. I even do a thing where it's called Missions to American Mosque, where I'll come in, I'll share my story, I'll train and teach you how to go in the mosque, I will take you into the mosque if you're so bold, and we will, you know, go in there and break the strongholds off that area.
What I've noticed here, some friends of mine live very near one of the bigger mosques here in this area. I never see any women or children. I only see men going into the mosques.
That's pretty common, even though there are women that do go, and you know, but the women's section is usually not as large. You may not be seeing the women going in and out either, because they will use a different entrance completely, a back entrance. So that's why you may not see as many going in.
Okay.
It's not encouraged for women to go to the mosque, but it's not discouraged either.
I see.
It basically is up to the husband. Everything is left up to the husband. And like I said, there's so much teaching, so many things I could really teach you and train you on as far as, and my books basically have all that. My newest book is called Vow of Deception, which is my life story. It just came out last year, which will give you so much information. And my first book was Married to Muhammad, and believe it or not, it came out the day before 9/11.
Oh, my. Oh, my. We actually have the on the Blog Talk Radio website and the coffee break spot, we have the cover of your book there. So people can be reminded of that then, and I'm sure through your website. Can they order it through your website?
Yes, or they can just email me and, you know, give me their address and what they want, and I will be more than happy to send them the book.
Wonderful. Well, you are certainly doing a fabulous thing, and this is fertile area for evangelism, because there are many Muslims coming into the United States and converting in the United States, and I don't think they are aware of the depth of what it really means.
People aren't. They really aren't. And you're exactly right. The Muslims are the largest unreached people group in the world.
Really?
Yes.
No, so it is.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm breaking up a little bit here because we've got a major storm that's going through right now. So
okay.
That's I'm having a hard time. But
one
of the things I do want to end with is that I remember I'm getting ready again to go to Israel again. But I was in Israel in 1999, and I stood at the Welling Wall, and I wrote on the Welling Wall, you know, you write a little piece of paper and you put it in the wall. And I asked the Lord right then if for 1 million Muslims to come to Christ. And the Lord, I almost heard him speak to me audibly, and he said, "You think too little."
That's amazing.
That's God.
Amazing. Oh,
his
praise the Lord.
None should perish, and that I believe with all my heart now is the time for the Muslims to come in. And I think it's going to stir up the Jewish brethren, my Jewish brethren, to jealousy, because what are they doing eating from the master's table?
Yes.
And I believe it's time for the restoration of Sarah and Hagar, Ishmael and Isaac. It's God's heart. Always has been his heart. And he is the master planner, and he
That's
has a
wonderful.
Plan.
Yeah. Well, it has been such a blessing having you today, and we'd love to have you back to talk specifically about your books and promote those a little bit. Would you be able to do that?
Oh, absolutely. Of course I would. I'd love to.
When are you leaving for Israel?
I'm actually leaving for California on August 8th, so if people want to pray that, there'll be ministry time there. And then I leave for Israel August 21st, and I will be there through September 18th right now, as far as I know.
Okay.
So please pray, donate, help. You know, this is all by
faith.
going there to serve the Lord and to serve the women there that are being abused and being mistreated. So,
thank you so much. Yes, thank you, and we will look forward to that next interview. And God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
And God bless all of you out there, and we'll see you next time.